Today was a pretty typical third down day, nickel day for us. Any questions?
NFL owners' meetings passed some rules. One of them was the Hard Knocks TV rule, where they almost passed, maybe they could compel teams to do it. Do you have any thoughts on that? I know you've kind of been, you haven't been a fan of having them come in and do something like that here.
Listen, you know, honestly, where we're at in the season, we're focused on that. I don't have any comment on that. You know, I certainly understand it, but leave it at that.
Trying to think of the size of the scoring advantage in the second quarter combined. What goes into that?
Well, I don't know that we ever set out each week and say, hey, we got to really feature the second and third quarter. We do, John, talk about the fourth quarter and finishing. You know, there's a brief period at halftime that you have very quickly to talk about maybe some adjustments you might make. But I don't know that I could point to one thing in the second and third quarter. You know, hopefully you're starting fast and you're finishing well. You know, I've been pleased with the second halves just in regards to being able to get off the field and the time of possession at times. You know, there's been a handful of games this year where we've had to finish games and manage the clock the right way. And I think we've been able to do that. But with regards to just specifically the second and third quarter, I don't know. Hopefully it can be the fourth quarter here 3 weeks from now. The same question.
Yesterday with the New England media, I think you mentioned it was a credit to good scouting with finding Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Why were you confident that he was a guy to be able to make that transition to such a limited
Well, I think just to be fair to the process, I don't know initially in the process any one of us, you know, were that confident or we would have selected him in the first round. But I know the area scout. I know after paying attention to the workouts, and although his playing time was limited, you know, we felt that there was potential with a player that had a lot of upside. You know, I think it's just someone who's has a passion about a selection, or someone who feels strongly. One of the really good attributes a scout can have is to have a real solid opinion one way or another, as opposed to down the middle. And when that takes place, then you recognize someone in an area that sees a player a lot more than we do. For instance, currently right now, we're out looking at college players. Someone who's more familiar with a player can convey that in a scouting meeting, series of draft meetings. And, you know, like anything else, you begin to pay close attention to guys that have been right on players. And so fortunately for us, you know, I've said this before, you're always maybe a little skeptical when a player's only had 1 year experience and he's played another sport. This year we had a handful of players from Europe, and the same thing exists. You know, let's make sure we do our homework. How much playing time has he had? Do we have a vision for the player? I think that would be really the main thing.
You're somebody scouting college basketball now? That's kind of like the next frontier.
No. No.
Sean, you guys have done a good job of kind of treating each game as its own season and had different game plans you've gone through. Does that help eliminate tendencies or predictability about your football team?
Well, I think in some regards it can. I think many good teams have certain tendencies. You just don't want those to be 90-10. You know, if when we do our own self-scout, you know, those numbers can be closer to 70-30 or 65-35. That's helpful. There's some formations we align offensively right now, and the self-scout would say we're 100% pass. And now, if you're in passing situations, maybe that's not as big a concern. If it's first and second down, then the opponent certainly is going to be doing their homework and recognize that and be able to get to maybe certain looks. But how the game is played sometimes in that regards, it can help you.
What are some of the tangibles of why you guys have been able to increase takeaways on the defensive side of the
ball? Well, I think oftentimes they can come with the quarterback being a little bit more under duress. You know, it's it's tough to be a defensive back if the quarterback has time. And obviously, if he's hurried, then, you know, at times the throw can be a little off, deflected possibly. You'd start with that element. In regards to, you know, fumbles caused, you know, that's still, we saw last week a team that was outstanding at the technique of separating a ball from a runner or a receiver. This team we're playing in New England has that same mindset. And, you know, hopefully that's something we're constantly paying attention to because, you know, within the last 10 years, takeaways and how they're being coached have dramatically changed.
So can you talk about how the criteria for what coaches want to look for in a tight end has maybe changed over the years?
Well, I think tight ends are being used differently maybe than the more conventional ways in the last 10 years. There's still similar criteria. I think that typically when we look at a tight end, there's a strong suit, maybe in a weak suit, and he might be someone who's outstanding as a blocker, and there's a value to that. He might be more well-versed in the passing game, and there's a value to that. So, you know, it still gets back to having certain prototypes in regards to measurements, measurables, trying to stick with those, and then there are always exceptions to the rule. If the player's an outstanding route runner and has got good speed and smart, you know, he may not have the exact height you want, would be an example. But, you know, you're usually, when you're evaluating a tight end, looking at one or the other and then trying to envision what he does for your own offense.
The moment when you talk about vision for Jimmy Graham when you guys were going through the process of evaluating, what was your vision for him?
Well, we certainly felt like he was someone that would excel quicker in the passing game than initially in the running game. And now, to what degree, or did we expect, you know, those first 2 years in his development to be what they were? You know, again, you'd have taken him earlier in the draft if you knew that. But we knew he had good ball skills. He had good size. He had a work ethic about him. He could run. Those are some things that you saw on tape.
How much Cam Jordan's success is back in that position versus just being experience?
He played very well last year for us, be it on a defense that wasn't having success. He played extremely well. He's playing even better this season. He's in great shape, so he can – One of the positives for him, along with his ability, is his stamina. You know, he can play a lot of snaps if he needs to. Fortunately, we haven't had the same amount of snaps, or the average snaps per game is a little lower right now, which is a good thing. But, you know, he can get on an edge, he can play the run, he can rush the passer, and he's really in good shape.
How far have you seen development in Bryce Harris? And he came off a tough injury and made the team.
He plays each week in different spots. He's someone that is physical. He's big. He knows what we're doing.
You've got quite a few guys on your roster, like Jabari, that seem to have a healthy balance, or strive for a healthy balance with family and football. You have a sense for what makes that work for some guys?
I don't know if there's one tangible thing to point to. I think For Jabari, you know, but like so many players, they do a great job of their schedule, their routine, and, you know, the challenge for anyone in this industry is always that balance on the field and then off the field, you know, and he's someone that has that and is very comfortable with that.
The players the other day were talking about Rob Love of Red Zone Defense.
Who?
The players the other day after the game were talking about Red Zone Defense.
Rob Ryan.
Yeah. You've only allowed 7 touchdowns in 5 games. How pleased are you with that, keeping the ball out of the end zone? What do you attribute to?
Well, I think scoring defense is an important statistic. The object is to reduce points. I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. I think we've been getting off the field on third down, so there's less maybe attempts or trips into the end zone. The time of possession and being able to possess the ball offensively reduces snaps. And then we've had some real big stops in the short field, whether we forced teams to kick field goals or, you know, we came up in week one versus Atlanta finishing the game, you know, with a fourth down stop. So it's a combination of players understanding that the area of the field is different. How we defend it then becomes different.
Sean, are you definitely going to travel tomorrow? Is it something you liked about last
week? Yeah, I think I mentioned yesterday that we were, you know, it's a longer flight, so we'll plan on going tomorrow out in the PM.
Is it any of it based on you just like the way the routine went last week?
No, I think mostly based on just the amount of time this flight's going to be and, you know, us being in a plane that long. So, but the schedule will be similar.
Have you been able to get a feel
last one
for what kind of player Joey
went down? It's been a limited amount of snaps, but I think this, you see that front play very well. They're very active. They do a good job of defending the run, even in some fronts that aren't necessarily run-oriented fronts, some seven-and-a-half-man fronts. Those guys do a very good job. They understand the scheme, both in the base and the nickel, and you know, it's coached very well, and you see a good team defense with 11 guys, not just one individual, playing it very well. Thanks.